today about hope. Hope. Now, that's not a person. That's a thing, a thing that we have within us. It's hope, okay? And it really is it affects us more than we really think when we lack it. And I'd like to point out some things and make some points that it will be an encouragement to you. I really do want to be an encouragement to you. I don't want to just give you knowledge and that. I want to try to help you so that in every day, maybe you'll find out some problem that is in your life that through the scripture you can have victory over. But the word hope. Now, what is the word hope? What I'm going to be talking about, it is the expectation of good. That's hope, okay? The expectation of good. Actually, the same word is used in the expectation of evil, but it's how you use it in the sentence, right? And so it's quite an amazing word. But the expectation of good. I wrote down here as my introduction that hope not realized can lead to discouragement. Okay, hope not realized. In other words, you're hoping for something. You desire this thing. It's an expectation of good. But then it comes on and, you know, a week passes and then a month passes and then a year passes and then 5 years pass. And there is this tendency within our human condition that it can lead to discouragement. And I'd like to take you to Proverbs first off. And then after I read Proverbs, we'll pray. And go to Proverbs 13:12. And the scripture says this: hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Heavenly Father, I do pray, Lord, that our hope would not be diminished. Lord, that it would be continued, that it would be looked for and hoped for, and then, Lord, when it is realized, that we could be refreshed. But Lord God, as I speak about hope, if there's one here that is discouraged, one that is down and their hope is gone, I pray today to revive that through the Word of God, and that they would be blessed in it, that they wouldn't be heartsick, Lord. So bless us now as we continue to study. Amen. Okay. Well, I hope that you still hope, right? And Proverbs, but it says that it maketh the heart sick. That's an interesting verse, isn't it? But it does. I've known people that they hope for something. A lot of times in newer Christians, they do. They come on and they expect certain things, their expectation. They're going to expect this to happen and this to happen and this to happen. And when it's deferred or delayed, then they give up that hope and they walk away from it and they become heartsick as a Christian. And in that heart, when they're sick in heart, then there's a lot of other problems that arise. But I have to tell you that you need to understand when the Bible uses hope, that we have hope, it really doesn't put a time limit to it. And if you go to Romans 8:24, you get to Acts, and then you go to Romans 8:24, and we're going to be in Romans 8 a little bit later, but in 8:24, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" And so really, it's talking about, when it's talking about hope and the word hope, it really isn't something that you're grasping yet, because once you have it, then there's no reason for hope, because it's in your hand. It's answered, right? So when the Bible, and we talk about this hope and different things like that, understand that in the scripture, hope is not talked about in any kind of 1 week or 1 year or whatever. It is an attitude that you have in your heart, that you are believing what the Lord has told you. I put it in categories like lost family members. You know, you're praying for their salvation. If you lose hope, you'd quit praying, right? You just go on. But I have another connotation with that. In sicknesses and financial problems, marriage problems, emotional, even in things that we've prayed for, right? You know that emotionally you're struggling with things and you're praying for it and you're believing it and you have hope. And then after a certain time, you might just, you know, sort of give it up, right? It's a difficult thing to understand when we've lost hope. Even in portions of scripture, whether it be soul winning, Bible reading, our service to the Lord, when you lose hope in the promises of God, these kind of things happen. What usually happens that I find when person have been heartsick, when they lose hope, right, and they become heartsick, that then this idea comes into their mind, well, the Lord isn't going to answer it, so I'm going to figure it out. And that's where I think we get into so much problems when it concerns the promises of God. That when we have this hope that we should have, and we lose it and we become heartsick, then we start to go to try to figure out the answer. So that's where, if you have lost family members, you become the manipulator. Because you're not believing in God and what he has said in the way of salvation. And in sicknesses, we try our own way, financial matters, whether it's marriages that have fallen apart and relationships that were gone. When we don't rely on those promises of God, when we become heartsick, then we go to our own devices. And that is where, as a counselor and as a pastor, I find that when people go to their own devices, that's where a lot of the problems of mankind start. So I'm going to try to reestablish you in the hope of God. And I hope that it'll be a blessing unto you. It is my prayer that it would. You know, in 1 Peter, go there please. In 1 Peter, it's an interesting portion of Scripture, but we're going to do this. And I just want you to read the power of these verses. So that you can get something established here. Now, how many of you are Christians? You give a public profession of faith. You believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. Three of you. Great. Wow. Okay. you're saved, right? You're saved. You're born again. You've been quickened by the Spirit. The Spirit itself bears witness that you are his child, right? In 1 Peter 1:5, this is what it says. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You are kept by the power of God. You have to understand that. You don't keep God. God keeps you. That's what it says. You are kept. The way that is worded and all this, that he is kept. As a matter of fact, it has a picture of it has two pictures, a positive and a negative. On the negative side, it's that that's a positive side. He built a wall around you and he keeps you within, right? And then another way of looking at it is he has armed guards all around you, right? That's really the picture of you are kept. Paul was kept in a prison. He was in the fourth quadrant, which was the innermost part of the prisons, and each level had 16 guards on it in a Roman prison and all these other stuff that is there. That's the picture of that you are kept by the power of God. In 1 Peter 5:7, if you just continue to go, 1 Peter 5:7, it says, likewise, you younger, 5:7, I'm sorry, I'm on verse 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You need to have this, that you are kept by the power of God, and God cares for you. He does care for you. He isn't oblivious to everything happening in your life. He understands your circumstances, and he cares for you. Even I wrote down here Hebrews 12:10, but we can go there, but that's fine if you do. But even in chastening, God does that for your profit. It isn't for some satisfaction that he gets from chastening. He does that, and according to that portion of Scripture, even when we are chastened of the Lord, he does it for my profit. And that's why the chastening hand of the Lord is not something to look upon negatively. I know it's necessary. I know he loves me, and I know that he cares for me, and he does all this to mature me in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm thankful for it. So it's even for our profit. So the main portion of Scripture I want to take you to is, though, Romans chapter 8. We're going to read 10 chapters there. We'll be here until sometimes next year or something. Romans 8, we're going to read 10 verses. Romans 8 is a portion. If you ever want to know about salvation and everything, we always tell people, read the book of John and read the book of Romans. Read it through very carefully. Really study it. It'll be a blessing to you. But in Romans 8, chapter 8, and then we're going to start in verse 29. Read along with me. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that a good portion of Scripture? I really like it. Yeah, it's great. I like all the portions of Scripture, but when I read some of them and the way that the Holy Spirit has preserved it in our English language, I get thrilled because it's worded in such a beautiful way. So you are cared for by God. He even chastens you for your profit. He has done so much for us that I want to encourage you not to give up hope in anything. Why? Because in verse 29 through 30, what did it tell us there in 29 and 30? We were foreknown by God. Okay? He knew me before the world was ever created. He knows all things. He doesn't ask questions, what am I going to do today? He already knows these things. And by the way, if you come to Tuesday night when we're talking about the attributes of God, because we're studying the doctrine of God starting on this Tuesday, then you're going to learn about all these attributes and different qualities of God. And it'll be a blessing to you because knowing him better stabilizes you. Because a lot of people, what they do with the attributes of God, they try to give him, human qualities. In other words, we created God instead of God creating us. And we try to put, we relay to him certain qualities. And that's just not the way it is. The Bible describes who he is. And if you study it and you know about it, it will stabilize you in your Christian walk. It won't make you more fearful. It'll stabilize you and it'll encourage you because he is a spirit and God is faithful, believe me, in his word. In 29 and 30, but he, look at what at the progression that he said. He predestined you to be conformed into the image of his dear son. Isn't that what it said in verse 29? Okay. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to be conformed into the image of his son. He has a purpose for you to be conformed, and that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, that's us, we're talking about us, them he also called, he called you. And when he called them, he justified you. You've been justified. And what is a simple definition of justification? I know it's simple. But it's as if you were not guilty. You are justified, as just as if I hadn't sinned. He has granted you a pardon. He has established you. But then he says he glorified you, and he has glorified you. Not only do you sit in heavenly places already with him, and you say, how can that be? I'm on this earth, okay? But that's what the Bible says, that you're already seated with him in glory because time is not relative with God, you know? So that's how I figure it out. Anyways, if you can figure it out better, go for it, that kind of thing. But it is, it's a great, great thing. But he glorified you by giving you the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Very on this earth, you have been empowered with power, right? So he did all that for you. And then he goes on and he says here, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? God is for you. He's in your corner. He's rooting for you, along with that great cloud of witnesses, right? God wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you grow into Christ's likeness. He wants to see you fulfill his will for his life. You are kept by the power of God. He is doing all this, and he wants to. He's in your corner, and he has given you the Holy Spirit of God. He has empowered you to fulfill his will. Let's keep on going, because there's more here. And it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And it says, he who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if he let his own son die and to suffer on the cross for us, look what he would do for us. Who shall lay anything at the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Look at chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who is there to condemn? It is God that has justified you, and you that go ahead are under, and if you have this thing that you are always condemned, and you feel this, and a lot of us were brought in up that way, and we have these feelings, and the adversary likes to give them to you. You need to understand, according to the scripture, it is God that justifies. There is no condemnation, and God is not condemning you. Even in chastening, there's not condemnation in that sense. He doesn't just make you feel bad. He wants to see you do what? Repent. Change. Go on. He's in your corner. He's careth for you. See, this is a different, if you understand God more, you understand the power that he is using to accomplish all this. And then, so many Christians that I talk to, they don't feel, they still are under condemnation. They still are as if it was, you know, that they didn't have God on their side. You're just not realizing it. God is on your side. And then he says here, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. And I'm not going to expound on this too much, but here he is, the intercessor, is an advocate and is a defense lawyer. He is there making intercessions for you. Isn't that a great thing? Christ himself. And then he goes on. And he continues on about this. And he goes, who that condemneth? And he says, maketh intercessions for us. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now that's a rhetorical question. And he's going to answer it, okay? He says this. And I can imagine when Paul first wrote this and the Romans were reading it, they said, wow, I don't know, you know? And so he answers it, right? Now think about this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ or the love of God? And he says here, I'll get to it. Shall tribulation. Now, a tribulation is a pressing. It means that you're under pressure, right? Tribulations. Now, how many of you have tribulations in your everyday life? Sure you do. I'm not saying I'm your tribulation. I'd tell you the story, but never mind. We only got so much time. I got to get you out of here. Tana plugged in corned beef and cabbage today. And I didn't eat breakfast, so you know this is going to be short, right? No, it really is. Who pressing? No, we understand that, right? No, he's saying. He's saying no. Shall tribulation or distress? Distress is actually a lot stronger. It's like a calamity, dire. Dire problem. Shall persecutions. Now, I don't know if you read that word persecution. How many of you dream? Okay, I dream. And when I'm cold, I have the same dream over and over again. Yes, I do. When I'm cold. Okay, and what it is, I'm in the bush. And there are wolves. And the wolves are chasing me. Okay, I have this dream. Tana usually has to wake me up. And I have this dream and they're chasing. They never catch me, but it's always almost, right? You know. Well, that's persecution. Something chasing after you. Something that's hounding you. Something that is relentless, right? You know, that's persecution. That's the best way I could describe it. Okay, shall persecutions... Where am I anyways? Okay, there we are. And... tribulations or persecutions or famine, being hungry, nakedness, just that you don't have the clothing that you need, which they would understand a lot more because they were being persecuted and they were understanding this, or peril or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. It's written that it's a fact. We are present more than conquerors. And a conqueror, Rome, you understand that when they would go out with their legions and when they took a place, we know this from Titus's arch, that when they came in 70 AD and he defeated Jerusalem, he came in with all the loot and bounty of that, and they had a fanfare for him. Man, I'm telling you, they built an arch and you got all the things that he stole from Jerusalem and everything in there, and everybody was applauding, yay. But he says, we are more than conquerors. We are even above that. But it's, catch the last part of the verse, though, and because it says we are more than conquerors, what? Through him that loved us. And that's God. God loved you. God loved you. And what is that word love? It's just not a warm, cushy feeling, even though there is emotion with love. I don't want to distract love from any emotion, but it's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. It is an action that he took, for God so loved that he what? Gave his only begotten son that we just described earlier. And then it goes on. For I am persuaded, convinced in mind, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, and I'll stop there for just a minute because we're touching on another verse. Look at Ephesians 6:1. Keep your place there because we're coming back. Ephesians 6:1, you know this verse. That's not 6:1. I'm in the wrong place. Okay. I copied it down wrong. For we wrestle not. Give me the verse, please. For we wrestle not against what?
Verse 10.
Okay. I forgot the zero. Okay. There we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and power of might. No, it's for we wrestle not. I was thinking, the verse I'm thinking about is
12.
Okay. Ha, there it is. My one was there and not my two. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, about rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Principalities and powers. And then he mentions here in our text here, for neither angels, nor principalities, nor powers, with the things that we wrestle against, the things previously mentioned in this, nor things, powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Now the creature, when it speaks of that, is the whole creation, all of it. And that includes angels and everybody else. It even includes you. Shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can separate you? Nothing can separate you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. When you're a lost person, he loved you enough to provide a way of salvation. He did. And that's the first step. Through his death, burial, and resurrection. Believing in that by faith. For grace through faith, and you are saved. You call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Thou shalt be saved. It's a definite article. But to the redeemed that I'm talking to mostly today, you have to understand that you are kept by the power of God. You are more than conquerors. There's no condemnation to them. You were foreknown and justified. And you cannot be separated from the love of God. And you say, what does this have to do with hope? It has everything to do with hope. Because you're hoping in the promises and what God has told you. Your hope is connected to your belief in the living God. It isn't hope in me, because if you're hoping on me, I might be sick that day or just tired. But you're hoping in God. And so I wrote down here those things to bring to your memory and to try to get you and to understand that you are kept by God and God cares for you. He has not abandoned you. And in those things that are troubling you, He knows all about them. He knows about everyone. I do not want you to lose hope. Because when hope is deferred in our human condition, you're going to get heartsick. And in your heart sickness, you are going to take on and try to do things in your own power and might. I want you to hope in God and in His promises. And if He tells you and instructs you, this is the answer, whether you're dealing with an angry man, it says a soft answer turneth away wrath. It says by your chaste conversation, lady, you can actually lead to the salvation of your husband. But it needs to be chaste. If this is true, and I believe it is, how many of you believe that's true? Amen. Now, you better watch out how you raise your hand because I'm going to ask your question here. No, it's okay. If this is true, why do we struggle so much? If this be true, and we believe it, you know, why do we struggle so much? And don't tell me that you don't struggle, because I know you do, right? Maybe more or less, some, you know, at different times and everything, but we struggle. And matter of fact, sometimes those powers and principalities just whip up on us, right? And yet, he says we're more than conquerors in all this, and we've already had the victory. And many of you out there, sometimes you feel great condemnation, not from God, but from the adversary and other people. But the Bible says this, what is the problem? I believe it's tied up in verse 38. If you go there to verse 38. And what does it say? I am, what? Persuaded. I am persuaded. I am convinced through the word of God. That's actually what the word persuaded means. And it has with it somebody telling you something and you were of this attitude. And then after being told this, you went and believed this. So catch me here. We were here. We believed the scripture. We became persuaded that Jesus Christ is the way of salvation. We called on His name and then we did it, right? And we called on His name and we were saved. Then we take the scripture and we believe it. By the scripture, we hear it, we read it, some preacher's up there preaching about it, whatever it might be. We become persuaded that this is true. And once we're persuaded, then it has an effect of hope and belief in our life. And we press on. And we don't lose that hope because we are persuaded. Did you know Paul was persuaded? Not only did he say it here, but what was it that one of the verses that we commonly read, go to 2 Timothy 1:12, please. Don't lose your place. And go to 2 Timothy 1:12, and I hope I didn't disregard a 1 or a 12 or whatever. But we have enough Bibles in here that if I did, you can help me, right? 2 Timothy, let's go there. There's a song, we can sing it. For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, and he suffered many things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am what? Persuaded that he is able. See, in his difficulty, in his problems that he had, and all the shipwrecks and the beatings and all the rest, he did not lose hope. He was persuaded. And he says, persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He believed it at the beginning, and he believed it at the end of his course. It's a great thing to understand. And we, like the apostles, we need to be persuaded. We need to be persuaded by the Word of God, empowered by the Holy Spirit, even speaking spirit to spirit, we are persuaded of these things. In Acts 26, and I'm afraid in many, many cases that we are like the latter. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul was thankful that he was almost, but he said, I would rather that you were fully convinced. And I am thankful that you are almost and might be almost persuaded in a thing, but believe me, when you are fully convinced of it and you are persuaded of a thing that the scripture speaks of, that you will not lose hope in it because it is a convincing. It is something that you believe in and you hope for. And whether it be the sickness, whether it be the adversities of life, whatever it might be, that you don't lose hope in this area. I don't care whether it's 5 years or 10 years or whatever it might be, but you stay firm believing in God because God careth for you. I wrote down here, I asked the question, are you persuaded in the promises of God? Are you persuaded? Do you truly believe that God careth for you? Do you truly believe that He has the answer for you and you're going to follow after that? You're going to have hope in it. You're not going to continue for a week or for 2 weeks or for a year. That you're going to continue in that hope until God answers it. And if He doesn't, you're going to continue in that hope. And you say, I don't quite understand all that. I just know that as a believer, you can't abandon hope. Hopelessness is one of the last steps before suicide. People that commit suicide are hopeless for the most part, and they see no answer to the end and to the problems in that. So the mind works and it starts to close in on itself. And any of you that understand that, you know it's true. Are you persuaded in the promises of God? He cares for you. You are more than conquerors. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's doing all things for your good, and He will freely give you those things. And you say, well, He hasn't so far. Well, keep on believing, keep on hoping, keep on praying, and don't give up in it. I wrote down, many struggles of the Christian are caused by hope in God diminished. I won't say abandoned. Most of us, we trust God for our salvation. We know no other way, and we are trusting Him for our eternal soul, as my reference to Paul stated, that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That's your everlasting soul. You've trusted the Lord. But when hope is diminished, then in the more practical things of life or the ordinariness of our life on this earth, we don't try to trust the scripture. We don't believe that He will answer. And what we end up doing is following after our own design. And then it leads to real problems. In matter of fact, when you go, that doubt, it leads to doubt, it leads to fear in your life. It leads to so many things when you follow your own ways rather than following God's word. You become a transgressor. You don't see, you understand what I mean there? You don't follow after, you transgress the word of God. You go beyond it. You go beyond, that's transgression. And we become transgressors. And what does the Bible say? What does it say about that? In Proverbs 13:15. Proverbs. Okay, go to 13:15. I did it again.
I think you're right.
Let me see here. Oh, there it is. Sorry, I was looking at 13. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. It didn't say impossible. It didn't say, you know, that you lost your salvation. The way of transgressors is hard. It's a hard way of life. And when you don't when you lose hope and you become heartsick and you become a transgressor to the Word of God, your life gets harder and harder and harder because of this hope deferred and your heart sick. Look at the promises that we went through in Romans chapter 8. This is the review, right? I put, even in all this, I want to make this point though. Yeah, even though we're transgressors, even though there's these difficulties, even though we're going this way, even in all this, you are not separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even in transgression, there isn't that God doesn't love you anymore. There might be a fellowship breach and all these other things, but don't ever think that God doesn't love you and wants your best and cares for you. He does in all things. But it's a hard way. And you can choose these different ways. Here's the review. If God be for us, what is the answer to that? Who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus our Lord. Who shall separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. God cares for you and He loves you. His promises are true. He has made them and He does not lie. God cannot lie. And your scripture is there. Learn it and study it and have hope in it. Don't go to your own ways of things because it's hard. It's a hard way. Follow after the Lord, and even this morning, when you follow after the Lord, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Two verses and we're done. Two verses. I'll take one Old and one New Testament. Psalms 71:5. Psalm 71 and verse 5. For Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. Thou art my hope. In all the problems of life, keep God as your hope. In Romans 15 in your New Testament, Romans 15, I'll get to the verse 13. Now the God of hope, it's actually talked about God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You may have never even noticed that verse before, but it's a beautiful, powerful verse. Let me read it again. Now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope, overflow with it, through the power of the Holy Ghost. So these questions I ask you, like the psalmist, like the apostle, have you diminished in your hope in God and His promises? Are you heart sick? Have you, in that way, when you're heart sick, are you going about trying to make everything happen the way you want it to through your own power and might? If the answer is yes, then stop transgressing. Trust in the Lord because He says He is your hope. He is the one that is going to work it out. He is going to give you the power and strength and even the way to do this. And then, dear saint, is there no joy and peace in your life? It's joy and peace in what? Believing God. And as we went to joy this Sunday school, and now here we mention it lately, that hope, joy, and peace are interconnected. And my question is, where are you today? Are you living? Has hope been deferred and your heart sick? Or is it that joy and peace rule your heart? Where are you today? And if you're not saved, then know that God loves you and He wants to save your soul. As you stand together, please. During this invitation time, don't let pride or anything else get in your way. But if something needs to be made right, then make it right. Then make it right. Don't let it care about what other people are doing or anything like that, but care about your relationship with the Lord. Are you heartsick? And if you are, don't transgress. And if you have, confess it, forsake it, believe in the promises of the living God. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of everyone here. And I pray that during this invitation time, you would touch hearts. And Lord God, may all of us leave today overflowing with hope. And may it glorify your Son on this earth. Amen. As the piano.